2-3 games as a Plymouth player, and you've just beaten Liverpool.
I fucking love it.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
After a packed weekend of FA Cup action, well, we're still in it. Because Terry, Palace haven't played yet, have they? There's still FA Cup still to happen. There's 14 of the round four ties have happened, but there's still two remaining. That's how long they drag it out now. We don't have replays anymore, listeners. But we still end up playing on Tuesday, don't we?
Kind of ridiculous, really, don't you think? I mean, Exeter versus Forest tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Doncaster Palace tonight. And why? I don't understand why. I mean, well, all right, that's not ridiculous. I know why. They've been moved presumably for television, but I don't get it. I certainly don't get why the Palace game's been moved for television, because it's on a Monday night. They moved it to Monday night and they're going to put it on the iPlayer. Let's just put it on our streaming platform. They're going to put it on BBC One. Going to go on the iPlayer. So they're shifting this match from a weekend slot to a Monday night in Doncaster. And I know Palace are a Premier League club, but like, we're not exactly Arsenal, are we, lads? Do you know what I mean? It's not exactly Man United. You know, I mean, it's Doncaster versus Palace on a Monday night. I mean, who's going to watch that? Well, obviously I'm going to watch that, but who else is going to watch that? Are you guys watching it?
Well, I probably will. And I'm sure a few of our listeners will probably be watching it because they just can't get enough of football. Like you, Jan, you can't get enough of football, can you?
Not me. I mean, I've been doing a podcast on football for 12 years, Graham, so go figure. I can't get enough of it. I'll be watching it. But it is a bit of a strange decision. I know that Doncaster hierarchy aren't happy with the decision at all. Apparently, they're short a few quid, you might say. Had that been held at the weekend and televised, they would have got about north of 100 grand, and they get about half of that with it being on the iPlayer. So I'd imagine Doncaster could do with that money. And as well as that, the gate receipts, which they're not going to get many of, because how many people are going to travel up from London to Doncaster on a Monday night? Yeah, bit of a strange one. Very strange.
They do get, I think, about 40 grand for being on telly on the streaming service. It would have been a lot more if it had actually been on BBC Two or BBC Three even. But I suppose at least ITV are shuffling around the ITV4 schedule and moving some old episodes of Minder or the Sweeney out of the way to put Exeter versus Nottingham Forest on live. But yeah, it does seem like a bit of a bum deal, doesn't it, to spread it out. And of course, you know, the fans are the ones who are suffering. Well, the ones who want to go along to the game. The fans who like to watch it from the comfort of their own home, they're sorted, aren't they, Terry?
Yeah, that's great for them because they get to watch football during the week. You know, get home from work and pop a football match on. You know, that's the main thing. As long as the non-match going public are happy, then, you know, that's fine. Everyone else is just backdrop, surely. That's how it works now, isn't it?
Well, kinda. And of course, they can sit there being outraged because they'll be able to watch it on their massive TV screens in HD and all the slow motion replays just showing up how terrible the decisions are. And it's been a whole weekend of them, isn't it? Barely a game went by without some shocker, some match-altering shocker in it. I don't know why they don't do something about it. The technology's there, Jan. Well, I complete the sentence.
Why don't they use it, Graham? Why don't they use it? And they didn't. We've said it before on here, haven't we? The FA Cup, well, I think I've said it. You guys probably didn't agree with me, I don't know. But the FA Cup has got a real opportunity, I think, to differentiate itself from the other competitions by making it completely technology-free, except for the cameras, so we can watch it. Other than that, what has technology ever done for us? But seriously now. So there was a number of events, which I'm sure we'll go through, but it was great fun to see football being played the way it should be. And also slightly annoying hearing some of the pundits losing their mind that VAR, and in one case, goal line technology wasn't even used, which I'm all in favour of chucking all of it away because the FA Cup was brilliant this weekend, and it was brilliant for a number of reasons, one of which was that there was no VAR ruining it.
Yeah, it's true. It wasn't there. It wasn't stinking the place out. Unfortunately, it is going to be stinking the place out in the next round. Now, the whole idea behind it was the FA decided, look, it's ridiculous having a set of rules for some games and having a different set of rules for the other. It doesn't work, except from the fifth round. Then it will work, the fact that we've got five championship teams in there for the next round. And if the game is at any of their grounds, there won't be VAR, there won't be goal line technology in those games. One of the big talking points of the weekend was Newcastle's first goal. One of those rare instances where goal line technology would have cleared something up. The replays were inconclusive, but it did look like it hadn't gone completely over the line. But it was at St Andrews anyway. So St Andrews does not have goal line technology, so they wouldn't have fitted it for this game. They've never talked about installing goal line technology at games for FA Cups because it's too bloody expensive. It's too bloody expensive and very, very, very rarely used.
I'm not going to go into the whys and wherefores of whether or not we should have goal line technology. I don't think we should. I know people say, oh, no, this is a good way of introducing technology. No, it's not. It's just an entry drug to get all the rest of that crap in there as well, isn't it? Terry, let me draw a breath.
I've found that when goal line technology works in Crystal Palace's favour, I've been broadly supportive of it. but when it doesn't, I'm massively against it. If you take the partisanness out of that opinion, I was against goal line technology beforehand. I wrote about how I was against goal line technology beforehand, not necessarily because I don't believe it works, unlike VAR, which I don't believe works, but just simply, as you've just said, because yes, it's a gateway for technology to come in and unnecessarily monkey with the game. And again, it's all about, as much as possible, protecting the universality of the sport. Old arguments, always worth rehashing. But goal line technology, I think, is quite benign by comparison to VAR. Nevertheless, I think the principle does remain. And it is in moments like this when that principle is thrown into focus, because as you point out, Graham, yeah, it was completely academic. There's no point in getting worked up about the fact that they don't have goal line technology at St Andrews, because they don't have goal line technology at St Andrews. They play in the third division. Yes. For God's sake.
They do indeed. Well, of course, the FA Cup started this weekend on Friday to Tuesday, as is traditional. I think it is the traditional fourth round Friday to Tuesday fair. But it started at Old Trafford, where goal line technology was in play. They were having goal line technology where it was available, but VAR wasn't. And of course, Man United's last gasp winner would have had the lines drawn on it. It would have had the curtain of doom if it had been in Europe. But no, it's the FA Cup. And so it was just some guy's opinion. And some guy thought, I reckon it was onside when the ball was kicked. And so they allowed a goal. A last gasp winner at Old Trafford.
Who knew?
Give the home punters something to cheer about. This used to happen all the time before VAR, didn't it, Jan?
Well, yeah, Manchester United scoring controversial winners in the last, well, not even the last minute. This was the 93rd minute. I mean, he was well offside, but, you know, who cares? You know, I mean, well, Leicester fans care, but, I mean, who cares? Who cares what Leicester fans think? But, well, without rehashing the whole argument about why technology shouldn't be in sport, in the end, it doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't really matter about the Newcastle game. It does within the context of that individual game, yes, but across the entire season, across the entire competition.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter in the end, does it? It doesn't really make any difference. Were Leicester going to go on and beat Manchester United and go on and win the FA Cup? No, they weren't. They weren't. You know, it would have been nice to see Birmingham beat Newcastle, and they played bloody brilliantly. I have to say they were excellent and really ruffled the Magpies' feathers. But in the end, Newcastle were going to overcome them, weren't they? So it's not a massive deal. And I don't think the good people of Birmingham will still be stewing on that one. Although they may well be. If it was me, I would be, to be fair.
Talking about all of these instances, because it doesn't matter to us.
Well, no.
Who cares? We don't.
Really, I think if you ask Leicester fans though, in their heart of hearts, what's more important right now, them getting out of the relegation zone or them being in the next round for the cup? With United, I don't have a problem with them staying in the competition. They've got an even more embarrassing exit in them, I think, this year.
They're going to win it.
The worst thing is we could have the third Manchester Derby final in a row.
Stop.
Yeah, well, we could because who's going to stop them? Liverpool are out, Arsenal are out, Chelsea are out, even Tottenham are out.
Come on. Villa could stop them.
Forest could. They've got to get past Exeter, but Forest could. But you've got Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Tottenham. First time we've not had them in the fifth round since 1984. And it's only the second time in the last 100 years that those four haven't been in the fifth round.
Since 1984, did you say?
1984, yeah.
That's a positively dystopian stat there.
And in both those years, Everton went on to win the FA Cup. Of course, that can't happen this year because they were knocked out by Bournemouth. Maybe it's Bournemouth's year to go on and win it.
Oh, that would be good. That would be good.
Would it?
I don't see you don't like Bournemouth as well, Terry. Is this another one of your... What's wrong with Bournemouth? They're lovely.
Yeah, and let's face it, his team's still in it. It's fine for us. It's fine for me as an Arsenal fan, you as a Sunderland fan. The FA Cup dream this season is long over. It was over in the last round. So at least Terry has got skin in the game, isn't he? They've got to win tonight.
Mm.
So at least he can be a bit more partisan about this.
At the time of recording, the FA Cup is not a competition that's happening to other people. By the time you hear this, on the other hand, it may well be a competition that's happening to other people.
If not Palace, then, Terry, just for the sake of the edit, who do you think now, after this weekend's results, whose name do you think is on the trophy this year?
Well, I mean, I did say Manchester United, but only half jokingly. I must confess, I do think Manchester United have quality players.
Mm.
If they can get some consistency under Amorim, then I think that they may well choose to focus on the FA Cup as a potential trophy. And they do have a knack of winning trophies despite themselves. They still have that knack, Manchester United. They don't deserve it, but they have it. So I don't think that that's out of the question. If Manchester City progress in the Champions League, big if, but if they progress in the Champions League, then I think that their focus might well be elsewhere. So you're looking, I think, at United. I think you're looking at Villa, Unai Emery. He wins trophies.
He does.
It's what he does.
Yeah.
And they have got a really good side and they've strengthened well. It looks like they've recruited well in the winter. So I think that they're in for a good second half of the season. And yes, I mean, beyond the fact that I think that the whole principle of Bournemouth is a bit weird, they are playing very, very good football with a great manager and some good players. So they may well be up there. It is kind of up for grabs. But I think that, you know, on current form, that's what you're looking at. But we'll see. Yeah, again, Forest is definitely something to think about, but they do have a tricky one tomorrow.
They do. But I think if this draw comes out that teams like Bournemouth or Forest or Fulham are drawn away at City or United, I fancy them to progress. I fancy them to go through. Fulham have picked up a really good habit of beating the so-called top half sides at the moment. So I think they're an outside one as well. What about you, Jan? Who are you looking at? Are you looking at Newcastle? You can't look beyond Newcastle, can you?
For those not watching the YouTube feed, my head is in my hands and I'm shaking it. They're already in one final and they're annoyingly a good side. So that's probably – but Villa, who's the team, I'm all about Villa. I always have been. I think anyone who's known me my whole life will tell you that they're my favourite team wherever they are in the country. It'd be good, Marcus Rashford, to score the winner in the final.
Ooh.
That would be a fairy tale. So, yes, I'm all about Villa.
Nobody mentioned Brighton in this, interestingly.
Well, I was waiting for you to, but...
Unlikely.
Unlikely. Nobody mentioned Ipswich either, or Burnley. Burnley, who can't concede any goals at the moment. There are lots of teams in there who may not fancy their chances of getting to Wembley, but, well, maybe, because obviously with the semi-finals being at Wembley, that's only like a couple of games away, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be good to see a good ding-dong semi-final like we saw last season when Coventry was there with Man United as well. You remember that one? That was a cracker. So I don't know. It'd be good to see maybe Plymouth get that far.
Well,
they could. I mean, they knocked out Liverpool. All right, out of Liverpool with one eye on a Merseyside derby, but they're still knocked out Liverpool. Plymouth's my second team. I've always said that. Anyone who knows me will always say that Jan's Plymouth mad, wherever they are in the country. So yeah, I'm all about Plymouth.
Yeah,
they call him Mr. Pilgrim. They really do. They always have done as well. For as long as I've known him. All right, Mr. Pilgrim.
Yeah. And I'd go, hello, Terry. And that's how we greet each other.
Well, it was a stonking performance. It was an amazing match. Yeah, it was one of those games. As soon as 9 minutes came up for injury time, you're like, I've seen this one before. But no, it was amazing, wasn't it? Added even more drama to it, didn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I mean, obviously, Plymouth, given that they've conceded about 500 goals this season and a rock bottom of the championship, to not only beat Liverpool, but to shut them out as well, is extraordinary. Yes, I know Liverpool fielded a very, very weak side. And like Jan, you said, they had one eye on the Merseyside derby. I think they had both eyes on that game because I think Arne Slot might have got caught with his pants down. I don't think his mind was fully on this particular match in terms of preparation. And I think, you know, he might well be due a little bit of criticism for that because it was a very young lineup. I mean, they think they put a little bit too much on Chiesa, who was coming back from injury. And I think that that's an awful lot to ask of him. And I think that generally speaking, that was not the best choice. But still, with Plymouth's record, you'd have thought that they would have found a way through it were it not for the fact that, of course, the new coach has signed a couple of centre-halves who have come in and are clearly very, very, very tough bastards. And in one case, very, very, very sweary bastards as well, which was great to see. Good to see the F-bomb being dropped on network television. It doesn't happen very often, and it's always good to see. Thumbs up. Ofcom, yeah, it's a thumbs up from me. More of this, please, Ofcom. More swearing on Sunday afternoons, please. We want to see it. Yeah, Katic, I think, is the guy, isn't it? And is it Tavlierov, I think, is maybe the other guy who they brought in during the winter. And purely with the whole thing is, you know, we're going to dig in here and we're going to stop conceding goals. And the new coach, I think, because we mentioned him last week, well, I talked about him a little bit in the box set. A really, really interesting guy, Miron Muslic, and an interesting backstory, which we won't go into. So it's really heartening to see that. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And yeah, it's turned these, because it was on, again, it goes back to television coverage. It was on network television, on ITV1, millions of people watching it, I would have thought. And these guys are now going to be household names for the next few weeks. So it's terrific. And it is, if you'll forgive the cliche, but it's what the Cup is all about. It was terrific. And yes, I know, a young Liverpool side, not prepared, but still in all, bottom of the Championship, beating top of the Premier League, Plymouth knocking out Liverpool. I mean, those what you want to see, stuff like that in the FA Cup. And we don't see it very often, to be fair. So it's lovely to see.
Yes, the FNA Cup. Yes, it is. It's exactly what you want to see.
It's fucking brilliant, Grant, is what it is. I fucking love it.
You're fucking
I really fucking enjoyed it.
Oh, dear. Yes, I thought it was David Coote back again. He hates Liverpool as well, didn't he? He must have loved that game. He must have absolutely loved it.
Old Cootie, yeah, loved it.
I can see how Liverpool might have thought, well, hold everyone back, because it's not just the fact that they've got the Merseyside derby this week. The next round would have been on the 1st of March. That's the same week as the next round of the Champions League that they'll be involved with. The round of 16 would follow immediately after that. And then after that, then you've got the League Cup final. And it was all in like the first 2 weeks of March. And you've got league games around there as well. Yeah, I think the last thing for Arne Slot, he's got to look at that and say, well, this season is real now. It could be a glorious season for Liverpool, but maybe the FA Cup was the first one to think, well, if we're going to let anything go, if the kids get through, fine, but if they don't, then they don't. And I mean, fans may not like it, but I think most Liverpool fans will look at it and say, we've got much bigger fish to fry this season, which is poor because you like to think the FA Cup is, you know, the finest tradition and that there is potential for glory there. But really, when you've got a lot of stuff on, I think you're okay to let one slide, aren't you?
it is awkward because they've just come off the back of a what could have actually been a tricky tie against Tottenham Hotspur in the League Cup semi-final.
Yeah.
Obviously, it wasn't because they rolled over to Tottenham like the scoundrels they are. Shocking. Shocking capitulation.
Yes.
But that could have been awkward. And then, yeah, as you say, then there's the Merseyside derby and there's a ton of other stuff going on there. So, yeah, really difficult one. Do genuinely see that point of view. If it all pays off for Liverpool and they win the title, maybe pick up the League Cup on the way, then Liverpool fans are going to look back on this moment and think, well, yeah, fair enough. As long as it doesn't derail them. So all eyes on, obviously, the Merseyside derby in 2 days' time. If they bounce back from that, then I think even by that point, people will have, you know, said, well, that's fine. We'll crack on with the rest of the season.
Mm.
I think, to be honest with you, I think Liverpool fans are probably already in that place. Okay. To be honest with you, I don't know what it's like to support a team that can actually go on and win major honours. So, you know, if I can try and put myself in that mindset for a second, we're top of the league, we're doing really well in the Champions League, and we're playing our biggest rival next week. It'd be just almost like, well, that's just something that's happened. We're out. The FA Cup is not as important as the other things. So to them, I don't think Liverpool fans will be walking around feeling too embarrassed, apart from the ones that turned up for work today with their mates from the blue half of the city. I imagine they didn't let them forget it.
Yeah, and all the local Plymouth-based Liverpool fans who are in the away end, of course.
Yes, yes. Those are the ones that you really got to feel sorry for, haven't you? Going back to their desk in Plymouth Town Centre on Monday morning. Well, of course, City almost got embarrassed, didn't they? There was a spectacular... Well, is it going to be on goal of the season? Because technically it's an own goal, isn't it? I mean, what are they going to have? Goal D, Ortega. Is that how it works now? I don't know. But the goal that Orient scored was unbelievably good. If you haven't seen it, listeners, then well done you for not being on social media. But if you haven't, try and track it down somewhere because it was really good, wasn't it, yeah?
It was. It was amazing. So the ball broke free in the kind of the middle of the, well, not even the middle of the half. It was near the halfway line, wasn't it? And Orient's Jamie Donnelly took a first-time shot from how many yards? 40 yards out?
45, I think, yeah.
And chipped it over Ortega, and it hit the crossbar and bounced down off Ortega's arse and back into the goal, which just makes it, I mean, chef's kiss.
Your chef's kiss.
Absolutely beautiful. It couldn't have humiliated him anymore. Of course, the City players lost their minds because they thought there was a foul leading up to it, which there wasn't. Well, it certainly wasn't given. They're entitled to their wrong opinions. It's only a shame that the Orient player doesn't get that goal. I mean, to have not just the foresight, but the confidence to be able to go, I'm going to shoot from this far out because I can see the keeper off his line and I'm going to give it a goal in a game where you're playing against one of the best sides in the world. It was amazing. So kudos to him. But the fact that it went in off Ortega's arse just makes it even better. That was definitely, if that's not, it was certainly goal of the round.
Yeah.
If it's not goal of the season, then there's something wrong with football. Game, as they say, is gone.
Terry, are you here for that being an own goal? Or do you think, no, come on, give it to him. Come on.
No, you've got to give it as an own goal. It's part of the glory of it is the fact that it has to be classified as an own goal. I mean, I'm assuming that guy is probably really, really good at the crossbar challenge, and that may be why he took it on. He said, well, if I don't get it in, I'll probably hit the crossbar. And then who knows? Who knows? It's anyone's game. Do you remember? You'll remember this, Graham. I can't remember exactly when it was. I'm going to say 91. It was before the Premier League, just before the Premier League. David Rocastle at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Scored against Manchester United.
Yeah.
Schmeichel off his line. And occasionally Schmeichel could be caught off his line and it came off the post and came off Schmeichel's back and then in. Do you remember that game?
Yep.
Obviously, that didn't have the comedy of it being Schmeichel's arse. But nevertheless, you know, that's how rare we see those things. And they're glorious things. And I agree with Jan. I mean, like, if there's any justice in football, and there isn't, let's be honest, but if there was any justice in football, then that would be goal of the season. What's the name of that award that they give for the best goal ever scored for the whole season across all the leagues?
The Puskás Award.
The Puskás.
Yes.
It's a Puskás winner.
But is it going to be Donnelly's name there, or is it going to be Ortega's name?
No, it's Ortega's name. I'm sorry, but he just is. Or Donnelly can get the assist. Sorry, but those are the rules. Well, they're not the rules, but they are now. If this is going to work, it has to be like that. Sorry, Donnelly. It was terrific. Terrific skill.
Yeah, it was terrific. And of course, City did have to put on the big guns. They did have to put Foden, they did have to put De Bruyne on to win the game in the end.
At Orient. To beat Orient. Which is brilliant.
Yeah, and are they favourites to go on and win it now, do you think?
I don't know. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I mean, they shouldn't be, I don't think, because they're not in wretched form by any means, but they are clearly still working through their issues, aren't they, City?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to put money on them doing anything, even though there's a very good possibility that they could conceivably do everything apart from win the league.
As it stands, though, they are the highest placed team in the fifth round because Forest aren't there yet. So as it stands at the moment. So on that alone, but of course, you know, they have reached the last two finals as well. So they do know how to do quite well in this. They do have a bit of form behind them, don't they, Ian?
Yeah, they've got a bit about them, haven't they? Coach is all right as well.
Some pedigree,
They could go far. Whether they're good enough to win it, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, they must be feeling a bit more confident because they started some more legal action this week, didn't they? They've decided, oh yeah, we're going to sue the Premier League again. Have you seen this? It's all the Associated Party rules. They've suddenly dug up something else that they think that the Premier League didn't do properly, and so they're going to try and sue them again.
They've gone to war with the Premier League, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've gone to war with their own people.
Yep.
They are shitting on their own doorstep.
They are.
They're the Elon Musk of the Premier League, aren't they?
Yep.
Yeah. Can't disagree with that.
Not what else we can say about that, no. Anyway, from the next round, we will have VAR will be back, and we'll have the whole conversation again about we've got VAR at this ground, but we don't have it at these grounds. Or maybe not. Maybe all of the ties will be played at Premier League grounds. Maybe.
Warming, how could that happen in a
warming the balls, show? Eh? Warming the balls. Warming the balls.
Well, if it happens, we'll know, yeah?
The draw is tonight, isn't it? Listeners will know the draw,
but yep. Yeah. We don't know the draw, but the listeners do know the draw. But for the first time, the listeners are better informed than we are.
Yes. We can all agree on that one.
And we're not doing a draw, okay? We're not doing one in the last few minutes of this podcast.
No. One day we'll get asked. One day we'll get asked to do the draw, and that'll be amazing. All three of us.
The Sound of Football fake third qualifying round draw of the FA Cup. That's why the listeners tune in.
From next year, of course, the FA Cup TV deal changes and it goes to TNT Sports with the then sub-licensing, I think, out to BBC. So it's all change again for the FA Cup. But, you know, what we have seen from this weekend is that despite the incompetence of the people who run this competition, it succeeds.
Yeah.
And long may that continue.
Yes.
But it just occurs to me because, all right, yes, everything that we said about Liverpool and the rationale behind them, you know, unfortunately fielding a weaker side and, you know, losing the game, well, you know, that will add to the experience. They won't want to repeat that. Next year, if they get a similar tie, they'll probably field a stronger side because they say, well, yeah, okay, that was justified, but it was unpleasant and we won't want to do it again. So it does matter. Even though it may not matter right now. Liverpool fans going, oh, it doesn't matter right now. But it does matter. Because you got knocked out of the FA Cup by Plymouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway you skin it, you got knocked out of the Cup by Plymouth.
And not only that, you couldn't even score against Plymouth.
And that. Super embarrassing. Yeah.
Mm. And earlier in the week, people were talking about them getting four trophies.
Yeah.
So and that didn't happen because of Plymouth. Go Plymouth.
Go Plymouth.
Yeah.
Go Pilgrims, as I've which it says on my tattoo. As you all know.
Yeah, so next round of the FA Cup is 1st of March. So plenty of football love to get into between now and then. And more European football coming up next week as well, because we've got the round of 32. So all of those teams that didn't get through to the last 16 are in action. And the only English team that is City, because they were the only ones crap enough not to get in the top 8 of their leagues. Even Man United. Even Tottenham managed to do that. So City versus Real Madrid next week.
Tomorrow
even, yeah.
That's going to be an easy one for them, isn't it? I wonder if Ortega's going to score another one with his arse from a Bellingham worldie from miles out. I mean, that would be great. If he got back-to-back arse goals.
Bellingham is taking a shot from wherever he picks the ball up.
Definitely.
Definitely.
He's having a go. That boy is having a go from wherever. You know it. I can't see City getting through that. But that's just like decades of like Real Madrid just completely shithousing their way through this competition, even though they themselves are having some difficulties. I mean, I didn't see the derby game against Atleti, but that was apparently controversial as well. That's kind of two teams that are not quite at it. So that's going to be an interesting game. And were it not for the fact that it clashes, well, Dortmund be Sporting, but it's the less said about that one, the better.
My eyes will be on Exeter Forest, I'm afraid.
That's fair. That's fair.
They've overlapped the FA Cup with the Champions League.
Mm.
But there will still be some football for us to enjoy at the weekend, though, won't there? And Friday night starts with Brighton versus Chelsea again. One of those weird things of the FA Cup where the same league fixture just comes up a few days later. Jan, you'll be doing that one because it's on Friday night, so we always get you to write the Friday night slot.
Yeah, it seems to be I always get Friday nights for some strange reason.
There was more VAR in that one, wasn't there? Because there was it handball or wasn't it? And, of course, all the Chelsea fans saying, yes, of course, it was handball, Matoma at the end. But nothing conclusive there. I don't think VAR would have picked that out either. So a little bit of a wrinkle in that game.
Yeah, I would imagine there is. And two sides that, I mean, Chelsea were a lot higher than Brighton, but they kind of lost their way, really, a little bit, you could say, of late. Chelsea won the game earlier in the season in the league, and then obviously you had the game yesterday, as you mentioned. So, yeah, a little bit of needle and a lot to play for both of them. So, yeah, that'll be good. A good Friday night fixture, as they always are.
Yeah. Terry, top two in Germany facing each other. Top spiel, Leverkusen versus Bayern Munich. Is this the last chance for Leverkusen to try to retain their title?
No and yes. I mean, it'll be a sizable gap if Bayern win this game. Bayern got a good result at the weekend against Bremen 3-0, and Leverkusen dropped points against Wolfsburg 0-0 draw only. I mean, Bayern have got some work to do themselves in the Champions League. So it's going to be a difficult game. If Bayern come away from this one, then history would tell you that they would be pressed for them to come back from that. And I think that Bayern seem to be getting better under Vincent Kompany. And I think Leverkusen, yeah, maybe, you know, a little bit of fatigue after such an amazing season. So this is not a title decider by any stretch, apart from the fact that it probably is.
Sunday's going to be busy because it's the Derby d'Italia on Sunday night, which TNT will be covering. Juve at home to Inter. Juve still only lost one game all season, but they've drawn 13. They're 12 points off of Napoli, and it looks really unlikely they're going to close that gap. But before that, of course, we've got one of the premier ties of the Premier League, Tottenham at home to Manchester United. Binfire meets Binfire, Jan. That's going to be one raging garbage fire, isn't it?
I'm not even sure of the physics of that one. That's a whole new kind of inferno, isn't it? What happens when bin fire meets bin fire? I don't know. That's a top Trump's game on its own, isn't it? Yeah, you've always got to watch Spurs when they're on and they're playing United. It's going to be amazing. Amazing.
Terry, is it just going to be too much for you?
No, not at all. I mean, it is going to be the chaos game. We should hopefully see plenty of goals in that one. I mean, is there a scenario whereby Ange is out of the job by that point? Or do we think that that's premature? Oh, mate.
Oh, come on. If they were going to fire him, they'd have fired him by now, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
It's always going to be the worst possible time for them to fire him, won't it? Because it's Levy's way, isn't it?
The worst time, you say? Challenge accepted. Daniel Levy, hold my beer.
Wouldn't they wait until 24 hours before the game before firing him? So he's got, surely, I mean, that's the way it works at Spurs, isn't it? So, you know, he's probably got the rest of the week.
No, I'll tell you what it is. They will be 2-0 up in their round of 16 game, and they will fire him the day before the second leg and lose that 3-0.
Nice. So do you think for when I write the preview, I should just put insert coach's name here whenever I'm referring to the Tottenham coach?
Maybe.
I hope not, Ange. I hope not, as we know. We're team Ange here.
And Amorim as well, basically. I mean, which one's going to be fired first out of those two?
For me, it's Ange. I mean, to answer that question seriously, it's definitely Ange. I think Amorim's got more time, but not much at this rate.
Well, if you want to see what Terry does write for that and all the other previews that we'll be covering in the weekend box set, then get along to sofpodcast.com, click on the link for the weekend box set and subscribe, and it will be on your inbox on Friday lunchtime. Yeah, it's Substack, so if you subscribe to a lot of other Substack, then add ours as well, because one a week, 7 match previews every Friday. What's not to love? But that is all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry DeFellin, it's goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Get in touch with us on Blue Sky or Instagram, where we are at Sound of Football. Or go to sofpodcast.com. Like us, share us, rate us and review us. Do it now!
Point of order.
Yeah.
Chipstead away.
Chipstead away. I'm up for that.
I'm up for that.
You've already put it on the group, haven't you? I will give it my thumbs up.
Give it the old thumbs up emoji.
Big fan of that.
I'm of an age where that says a lot. That tells people that, yes, I'm with you.
But in a way that I don't have to actually do anything. Thumbs up emoji.
How could I say it better?
Can't. It's impossible. It can't be done. I'm a massive fan. No, it's a large, substantial fan of the thumbs up emoji. I use it all the time.
The reaction emojis in general are quite good.
So where do you stand on actually doing the reaction one as opposed to doing the reply with just the emoji?
I'm not a fan of that.
No, but that's boomers. Boomers still do that.
Right.
Gen Xers do the reaction emojis. But millennials and Zoomers are like, reaction emojis are like ghosting. That's just like one up from ghosting. So they're not having that at all. Gen Xers are quite comfortable with that. Yeah, because like we're always ghosting each other because we always have that. We're of an age where we used to use telephones, you know, and speak to each other. And so we just ignore the telephone if we didn't want to speak to anyone.
Do you remember those days when you used to speak to people on the phone?
I know, yeah, exactly.
That was weird.
God, it was awful. It was awful.
Terrible.
We're not quite at that point. So, yeah, boomers still reply with the thumbs up emoji.
I give that my thumbs up.